My other genus was Diplectrus. They may or may not be closely related, not quite sure yet. So just a bit of background on the Eatamarity. At least according to Croson, this appears to be a well-defined monophyletic family within the Tenebrionoidea, but it's unclear as to the relationships to other families in the Tenebrionoidea. There may be a possible relationship to Scraptiidae. There are some genitalic differences, however. Also Cephaloon of Stenotrachelidae, but again, there are some genitalic differences there as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, just
don't send. Yes. Hopefully it won't close.
Okay. All right. So Eatamarity itself is a modestly sized family, only 1,500 species, in about 115 genera. The larvae are typically found in moist decaying wood. There are differences in where you find inland species versus coastline preferences. More of the inland species tend to like conifers. More of the coastline species, you'll find them in driftwood. There really aren't any economically important species in this group other than the wharf borer. And this one tends to burrow into pilings of wharves, but it may cause a bit of structural damage, but like nothing too significant. The adults are found on flowers and foliage. You can sometimes find them in moist to rotten wood, and there are many species that are attracted to blacklight, especially some of the island species. And many in this group are aposematically colored. There's a lot of very interesting and very pretty color patterns going on. And this may be due to the fact that many of the Eatamarids, it's not known if all of them have cantharidin, but many do, so there is the potential to cause blistering. But it's not really worked out as to how the Eatamarids are producing this cantharidin or for what purposes it is being used. But for anybody who's had experience with cantharidin, it can cause some blistering, and it can be rather painful. And as you can see in this picture, there are a couple necrotic pits there. The amount of severity kind of depends on the sensitivity of the person. You know, some people don't seem to have any reaction at all. I myself, I'm allergic to almost everything on the planet, but so far I've been okay. I haven't had any problems with the cantharidin or Eatamarid, so I'm hoping that will continue. As far as the classification within the family, it's a painful mess. It isn't even certain how many subfamilies there are. There have been between 2 to 4, generally 3 are typically recognized, Calopodinae, Nycerdinae, and Eatamarinae. Arnett, who was the kind of last New World worker on this group, had put together a manuscript, which is unpublished, but he actually had 4 subfamilies. The tribal level is even more screwed up. You know, as far as placement of the tribes into these different subfamilies, how many tribes there are, and if you look at larvae versus adults, you get some different ideas as to tribal classifications. So when I was looking to do a project within the Eatamarity, I wanted to try to find groups that seem fairly well defined, more basal than derived, and of fairly manageable size, especially after doing my master's thesis with the Scarabioidea. That could have been a mini PhD because I was dealing with about 184 species, of which I had to write profiles and keys. But then, of course, I go ahead and pick 2 genera and Eatamarids, and just a glutton for punishment, I guess. But one of the groups that I looked at was a tribe Didelinae, and when I was going through some of Arnett's previous publications, I had noticed he had talked about 2 genera in particular, Diplectrus and Sicinis. And he had mentioned that with both of these groups, they were in need of revision, and it looked like there were some species that occurred in one of the genera that probably belonged in the other, and vice versa. So I figured, you know, this would probably be a good starting point, would be to, you know, choose a genus, or in my case, two genera, and just kind of work from the ground up, do some species level work. So I chose the group Sicinis, and to give you an overview of this genus, it was originally described by Champion, and he listed the type, well, he did not list a type species for this group. Arnett later went through and chose Sicini suturalis as the type species. And Arnett did mention that he had later regretted his choice because it looks like a lot of the species that are in Sicinis don't really match with this particular type. But the characters that Champion had used to kind of define this genus were that they have long bifid exposed mandibles, a apical maxillary palpomere that is long and narrow, and usually oblique or with a truncate apex. The head is as broad or broader than the prothorax. And the pronotum usually has 1 to 2 transverse grooves or depressions on each side. And typically the elytra have a series of double lines or fine costae. Historically, there were 35 species placed into this genus Sicinis. There are no larvae known for any of the species. And the majority of Sicinis occur in Central to South America. However, there is one species, Sicinis championi, which appears to be endemic to southwest Arizona. So right here is the list of species historically placed into Sicinis. The one with an asterisk, suturalis, is again the type species. So you can see that most of these species are described by Champion, but there have been some described by Peak. So my research objectives in conducting this revision were to, first of all, examine the types of each species historically assigned to Sicinis, and to seek a monophyletic interpretation of Sicinis based upon a completion of anatomical character analysis of adults, and to conduct a cladistic analysis of Sicinis based on these anatomical and morphological characters of adults. I was unable to do a molecular analysis simply because the material is not available. And finally, but most importantly, I wanted to create keys to species in order to start to get some identifications on these Edamerids. So in the taxonomic revision of Sicinis, what I found was that there is a definite Sicinis clade that appears to be supported by 5 synapomorphies. In the one right here, the apical maxillary palpomere tends to be rather short and kind of culturform, is knife shape. And if you look at antennomeres 3 through 5 right here, they tend to be slightly thickened, more so than the rest of the segments. The elytra tend to be rather broadly rounded apically. And also, if you look at the elytral costae, they come out fairly strongly here, and the striae are very strongly impressed. So after conducting this taxonomic analysis, what I ended up with was a Sicinis clade consisting of 10 species. There was one species, Sicinis scutellaris, that was synonymized under Sicinis personatus. There are 3 species that are remaining in Sicinis. They're Incertacetus, Inapicalis, and Infasciatus. I could not locate the type for either one, and there was just no reliably identified material. The third one, Sicinis mathenae, is definitely not a Sicinis. At this point, I'm not sure where it should be placed. I'm still investigating other related genera, looking at some other neotropical groups, and I haven't quite found a decent home for it, but hopefully I will soon. there was a second clade that came out very distinctly from Sassinis, and this would be Cantherosassinis. I call it Cantherosassinis because this group, they tend to look kind of cantharidish to me, whereas the true Sassinis clade, they look more kind of like lysid mimics. So within this Cantherosassinis clade, there are 12 species. And for the remaining species, a few were transferred out of Sassinis, and there were three moved to the genus Metusinosa. And you might notice that the species Sassinis guyanensis, there are actually three synonyms that belong under guyanensis. And also there were three species that were transferred out of Sassinis and moved to Diplectris. So looking at Cantherosassinis, this new genus, I noticed there were four synapomorphies that seemed to support this group. In contrast to Sassinis, if you look at Cantherosassinis, the antennal segments 3 through 5 are not thickened slightly, they're all filiform. And the sides of the elytra tend to be subparallel, so you don't really see that apical rounding. You can see that very well right here. And there are fewer elytral costae. There tend to be 2 to 3. And the striae are not as strongly impressed. So after conducting this taxonomic analysis, I conducted a phylogenetic analysis of both of these clades. And I chose a few outgroups to use. I chose Diplectris and Metusinosa initially. I chose both of these because I had species that I moved out of Sassinis and put into both of these genera, so I thought they might be good to look at. And I also chose Europlatosassinis. This had been described as a subgenus of Sassinis, and Arnett later elevated it to its own generic status. For my cladistic methods, I used McLade, and in the initial matrix, I looked at both Sassinis and Cantherosassinis, plus the three outgroup taxa. I had a total of 31 characters, 14 were binary, 17 were multi-state. I know that's a rather small amount of characters, but again, I was just dealing with morphological characters at this point. So under the program POP, I used a heuristic search, and I used the following settings of keeping the best trees only, using stepwise addition to get starting trees for branch swapping. I used a simple addition sequence, holding one tree at each step, and used TBR as the swapping algorithm. I told it to save multiple trees, and when saving however many best trees, to swap on those best trees only. I also used successive approximations character weighting, so after each heuristic search was conducted, each character was reweighted. And the settings used here were to reweight the characters according to the consistency index, and if there was more than one tree, to use the maximum value or best fit. And I started with a base weight of each character equaling 1, so I did not pre-weight any of the characters. So the results of my cladistic analysis for this initial group of Sassinis and Cantherosassinis, in my initial heuristic search, I came up with 304 trees, each with a length of 105 steps. But I reached stability after just one iteration and ended up with a strict consensus tree built from 9 trees, 33 steps total. So my consistency index, 0.66, it was better than 50%. Retention index, much better. And the homoplasia index, fairly low, so that was also a good thing to see. So this is the initial cladogram that I came up with, and the two big groupings here, 94% of the time, the Sassinis clade came out together.